Hi, I'm Dr. Pam Peek, and welcome to episode 302 of Her, the podcast where you're going to hear the naked truth about her mind, her body, her life, and today, her complex traumas. Who and what to do with them. We've got a terrific show and know that it's made possible by our wonderful friends at Smarty Pants Women's Vitamins, the delicious once-a-day gummies that contain all of the essential vitamins, minerals, and omega oils customized just for women. To learn more, hop on over to SmartyPantsVitamins.com. Here's your first reminder to click onto iTunes after this episode to rate and review the show. We really look forward to hearing from you, so come on down with your feedback after the show. I'll remind you again a little later on. All right, it's time for Her.
Her, the podcast.
The naked truth about women.
Her mind.
Her body.
Her life.
It's all about her.
So I had my dear friend and colleague, Dr. Christine Courtois, on a prior episode where we really talked about the whole definition of and meaning behind what we now refer to as complex traumas. Christine is the author of sort of basically the seminal textbook on this entire disorder, something that is just really now beginning to emerge as a thing with the American Psychological Association and others. It's really about trauma in your life. And the trauma could be everything from verbal abuse. It could be abandonment, neglect. It obviously could take the form of physical, sexual abuse or otherwise, all of the above, any mixture of. And it really factors into things in people's lives. And this was really brought to the fore by Dr. Vincent Felitti, who in the 90s discovered with a survey of thousands of Kaiser Permanente patients that at least one in three people has adverse childhood experiences enough to really interfere with, to some level or the other, with their daily functioning as an adult. And this could have happened in childhood or adolescence, both. And this really started making us wonder what goes on with all of these, you know, kind of walking wounded around, and what's the spill out? Well, subsequent science has clearly shown that it spills out into so much of our life. And Chris has really spent and dedicated her life to really looking at the residual consequences psychologically of people who've had this level of what we now call complex trauma. So, Chris, welcome back to the Her podcast.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad to be with you again.
So, you know, one of the things I want everyone out there to know, I mean, obviously, if you're a professional, you want to go to her wonderful text, Treating Complex Traumatic Stress Disorders in Adults. But if you're a wonderful consumer, one of the Her podcast listeners who just wants to figure this all out for themselves, there's a great book. It's Not You, It's What Happened to You. Would you do me a favor, Chris? Tell people what that book's about.
Okay. Well, as the title implies, a lot of people who have been victimized or traumatized really take it in and think that it's because of them, or they incorporate a lot of negativity about themselves for what they did or what they didn't do. And it all gets mixed up with what happened. And in addition to that, up until fairly recently, medical professionals and mental health professionals have not understood the consequences of long distant and long past trauma. And so lots of times when individuals present themselves with symptoms that are related to trauma, they get misunderstood, and oftentimes they get stigmatized and blamed for their symptoms, as awful as that sounds. And also it's implied that they can't get better, that it's their fault. And so they incorporate that negativity also. And so I wanted to make clear with the title that when something bad happens to you, it doesn't make you bad. And that's an important, a very important point of distinction and a very important point of healing And I've had people, you know, just sort of put out a big sigh when I say, it's not you, it's what happened to you. And let's take a look at that. And let's take a look at how it impacted you. So that's the title. The book is about 100 and some pages. It's written very reader-friendly. And what I tried to do was outline what happens when you're traumatized in childhood. And the definition of complex trauma is that it is interpersonal. It's something that is done to you by another person. And often it's repeated and becomes chronic. So that's part of what makes it complex. It's not a one-time occurrence. And when it happens in childhood, it gets all caught up in the individual's development and their maturation. And it can show up any point along the lifespan. And you mentioned Dr. Felitti's work. It's something that we had found with other types of research that the effects can be initially there. They may disappear for a period of time, but then they may reemerge. And they can emerge and submerge over time, which makes them really confusing and also makes it hard to attribute them back to what happened, you know, in the distant past. So this is a book that attempts to make those kinds of connections and help people to understand. And then last but not least, many clinicians, whether they're medical or mental health, never got any attention to trauma and its impact in their training programs. And unfortunately, that's still the case today. And many of them have to get their training in continuing education efforts. And so as a result of that, they haven't typically asked about trauma when they're doing a comprehensive evaluation at the start of treatment. And so if they don't know or don't, or there's a question mark, they may never really consider that that's a possibility for where the symptoms come from. So there's a lot more education.
Well, I just absolutely say amen to that. I learned nothing about it in my own education. And whatever I know about it came through my wonderful association with you. You know, I'm kind of smiling here, too, because I think a lot of people out there, since it's COVID time, are doing a lot of Netflixing. The number one show on Netflix is The Queen's Gambit. Have you seen it yet?
No, I haven't seen it, okay. But I've heard about it.
Okay, so I would highly recommend you see it. And I know for a fact that it's really triggered something in a lot of people because this young woman went through quite a bit when she was, growing up. And boy, did that come back to haunt her as a, grandmaster, almost to be. Chess master, but you got to see this. I would imagine most psychologists or psychiatrists or mental health workers are watching this and cringing, going, oh no, that did not happen, but it did. And, mm-hmm. it's a beautiful story. There's no question. It's just that, that was one funky childhood. I say that because at some point, I'm sure that, in her fictional mind, she had to finally convince herself that it wasn't her, that it was what happened to her. And she was just a kid and she was out, she had no control over the situation. So let me flash forward to today. Okay. So let's say somebody read the book and they're going, OMG, that's me. Okay. That's me. Now, and they've convinced themselves, based upon what you've said in the book, et cetera, that they probably should, get some kind of help. Where do they go and what are they looking for?
Well, Pam, that is just such a great lead-in because that's the second half of the book. I wrote about where you can get help, where you can get treatment, what kind of treatments are available. And I did that all in, in lay-friendly language, not in professional language. And there's a list of resources. And I constantly get calls all the time, where can I find a complex trauma therapist? And so in that book also is a listing of places where you should be able to find somebody with that area of expertise. But you know, I think our listeners should really know that help is available. But as you seek out help, you know, be cautious and really ask a therapist what they know about it. Do they know about complex trauma? It's not enough for them to know about PTSD, and because PTSD doesn't have some of the criteria and some of the aftermath that we see with more complex forms of trauma that started in childhood. So it is important that, you know, they talk specifically about complex trauma. Also, some individuals who've had especially rough times in childhood may have a dissociative condition, may dissociate, which means that they at times will skip time or not have full memories or not feel like themselves. If that's the case, it's also important to have that assessed and work with somebody who has some knowledge about how to work with that condition.
Okay. I think that that's like easier said than done, right? What do you mm-hmm. think?
Yep. I think so too, although there's an International Society for Trauma and Dissociation that's listed in the book, and that has resources. So those are people that have received specialized training and would be recommended. So there are places, certainly more places, and I know I've been doing workshops and conducting workshops on this topic for years, and, you know, I know there's a lot of people that have gotten some training, and some more than others, and some specialize in this. But, you know, I think the important thing is to ask.
Okay. So is something that's come up a lot is a specific kind of therapy called emotion-focused therapy, EFT. Is mm-hmm. this helpful?
Yes. It can be very helpful. It's been applied to couples therapy in particular. Sue Johnson is the originator of when it is applied to couples, and what we've also found, unfortunately, is it's not unusual for somebody with a complex trauma history to pair up with or marry somebody else with a complex trauma history, because there can be some matches that go on in terms of, you know, what they need or what they're seeking in a partner. And Sue has developed a very nice treatment method that is emotionally focused treatment. Now, that treatment method can also be used individually, and there are a lot of studies at this point that show that it's quite effective.
But I'm trying to understand something. So you said that it's common for people mm-hmm. who've had this background to pair up with somebody else. It would seem to me, I don't know. I'm saying, why would they want to do that? If they themselves are wrapped up in trauma, stress, and anxiety, why would they want someone else like that? I'm trying to understand how that works.
Well, again, if they're wrapped up in these kinds of circumstances, they may be looking for someone to take care of them, or they may be seeking, and this is going to sound very contradictory, and it is, or they may seek somebody, for example, a sexual abuse survivor may seek out a partner who is emotionally distant because that's what they learned in their own history. And so they pair up, and they may get along pretty well until, if one of the partners who appreciated the emotional distance gets to the point of wanting more emotional connection, maybe because they've done their own healing process, something's going on that's opened them up to being more trustful, more trusting rather, then they may find their partner is not in sync with them. And that can create a lot of problems. Now, that's in some ways a better case scenario. The worst case scenario is when people who have been previously abused hook up with individuals who turn out to be very controlling and emotionally and possibly physically violent and abusive. And unfortunately, that is a something that happens quite routinely. And we believe that that's the case because what individuals who have been abused learn is how, you know, ways to defend themselves that actually make them more vulnerable to repeat abuse. So that's one of the things that we have to address in therapy, is to teach about safety and security in all kinds of relationships. And by the way, this is another reason that survivors blame themselves. I've had clients come in and say, you know, this is my fifth relationship where it's been violent. You know, it must be me. And rather than it must be me, I will say to them, I think you need a course in problem solving, and I think you need to develop some skills to how to identify people who might be abusive, who violate your boundaries, and you need to develop some skills for how to be more assertive and to demand good things for yourself. So, you know, again, it's easy to self-blame. And a therapist needs to be able to address that, not that, you know, you're bad and, of course, it was your fault that this happened, but rather let's look at this as a problem to be solved and we can work on it together.
Yeah, I just see this as sort of a, you know, a really tough, you know, domino effect, you know.
One person,
you know, ends up getting abused, they end up marrying or partnering up with somebody else who makes the situation worse, and then they then have kids, and then that happens to them, and it just keeps going on like this. And it's very, very frustrating, to say the least. So how often is it, I mean, what is the success rate, seriously, of two people who pair up who are like this? Because, you know, if the statistics are like I just said, that one in three people really has at least one adverse childhood experience score, and anybody can find out about the adverse childhood experience, they're called ACE, score by just simply Googling it. And the CDC has a fabulous website with all the testing and all of the information and the fallout, and really easy to read and to inform yourself about. So if both people have at least one on the ACE, and, you know, they pair up, you know, and maybe they do it because they're with someone who doesn't think there's something wrong with them because they had trauma, because the other person had trauma too. And so now they have like an interesting bond.
Yeah, you know, they have between matching. Yeah,
they
have
match
matching
up.
Kinds of things. I would
exactly.
just like to make a correction to what you're saying, though, Pam.
Go.
One adverse childhood experience is not enough to set off some of these kind of reactions we see. It's more likely when the more adversity, and there, it depends on what questionnaire is available at this point. It started out with 10 different adversities,
right,
including abuse, neglect, separation and loss, divorce. I think suicide, or somebody close that died. So those are the kinds of adversities. But we're also particularly looking at child abuse and neglect because those things tend to recur. And that's the definition of complex trauma, is it's ongoing and it's interpersonal. And when the number goes up, what's unfortunate and statistically holds is the greater the number of adversities, the greater the degree of consequences to the individual. And it looks like a pyramid, actually, and it starts, it's very developmental. It starts with changes in a child's brain, actually, when it happens in a very young age, and then it builds into problems, psychosocial problems, medical problems. There's a lot of medical concerns, a lot of addictions to manage, a lot of risk-taking to manage. And I hope you're hearing that as a little contradictory. Well, what do you mean addictions to manage or self-injury, self-harm to manage? Individuals brought up in these kinds of situations, again, their low self-esteem and the chronicity of their symptoms may cause them to really seek out something that's going to relieve them. And what's more relieving than, you know, you're the eating disorder expert, and what's more relieving than eating or purging in some cases, or both, or, you know, developing an addiction of some sort, whether it's to a substance or a drug, or also to sex, or behavioral addiction, or also self-harm. Individuals have found that if they hurt themselves, it may relieve some of the emotional pain that they're feeling. So all of these have been associated with a greater number of adversities. And then when you reach the top of the pyramid chronically, it says an earlier death rate than someone who doesn't have such a history. Because there's so much chronicity and so much buildup over the years, and what we've learned too about the psychobiology of this kind of situation is individuals who are traumatized, their bodies change, and their bodies are always on high arousal state. And you can call it arousal or you can call it defense, but they're always hyper in one way or another. There's always a responsivity that's over the top. And after a while, there's wear and tear on the body, as you can imagine. And so we now believe that autoimmune disorders, you know, some of those mysterious women's disorders, such as fibromyalgia, may well be associated with an autoimmune response that is going awry. And related, again, this is why a physician needs to know, is there a history of trauma? Because maybe that's what's driving the whole physical response.
Well, this is one of the reasons why I'm such an advocate of telling physicians out there, learn about the adverse childhood experience. Just at the very least, understand where a lot of this came from. And then take a book like yours, Complex Trauma, and get a real eye-opening experience at the provider level. And then make sure that your other book, you know, It's Not Me, It's What Happened to Me, is given to consumers, to their patients. If anything, what it does is it allows them to know, A, there's help out there, B, that people get it, that now we're really getting it as professionals, that this trauma issue is a thing. Tell me the status of...
And that it's real. It's not somebody...
That is real.
So many women have heard it's all in your head, you know, and...
Right. I hear that one more time.
It's such a put down.
Yeah, it's a put down, and it's a complete diminishing of anything mm-hmm. that you're feeling, mm-hmm. you know, back and
right.
forth. So, well, what is the American Psychological Association doing right now with regard to classifying trauma differently? You know what I mean? So
yep.
that people, I mean, is there a diagnostic code? Does everything get schlopped under stress? What happens?
Well, this is from the American Psychiatric Association rather than the American Psychological Association.
Okay.
There's a diagnostic and statistical manual. It's now in its fifth edition, and unfortunately, we have not been able to get complex trauma included as a freestanding diagnosis. It is only included as an associated feature of what's called classic PTSD. The problem with that is classic PTSD, the criteria for that, came from war trauma. And it came from studies of predominantly men, young men and mature men, whose personalities had already been developed and had life experience, and they were adults when the trauma happened. So when you compare and contrast that with trauma that occurs over the course of childhood, that trauma interferes with maturation, as I mentioned earlier, and so it's embedded. And in fact, Judy Herman, who coined the term complex trauma, also talked about walking PTSD, or PTSD that enters the personality. To that, I would say PTSD that enters the body of a child who is chronically traumatized. Unfortunately, and I think it's a politically driven issue, complex PTSD is not in the DSM. However, it is now included as a new diagnosis, freestanding, in the World Health Organization International Classification of Disorders, ICD-11. And starting in January, it will be used as an official diagnosis. The good news is many of our insurance companies are relying on ICD diagnoses now. And so we've already seen a big change in the ability to get research money and the ability for individuals to get understood as having something different than standard PTSD.
Excellent. And also they'll get insurance reimbursement, right?
Yes, absolutely. Yes. Now, what's interesting in their designation, you have to meet criteria for PTSD, and you meet criteria for complex trauma. So it's a little bit different. They call sibling diagnoses, and you had asked before, they are listed under a category called stress and trauma disorders.
Right, right, exactly. Okay. Wow. All right. So, you know, really at the end of the day, if we just sort of sum this up, number one out there, there's a very good chance that, you've been walking around like the walking wounded, and it may have been spilling out into why it is hard for you to be resilient, to be able to be optimally performing in everything you do, personally, professionally. Sit with it for a minute. I would so highly recommend that you get Christine's book. It's not you. It's what happened to you. I think that is so important. At least read it and see if this is kind of what you're all about. If that's true, she's also offered solutions and pathways for you to be able to start that healing process. I think this is really important. I'm like a crazy person about this because I as a physician, I'm telling you right now, there's not a single person I have really met who has been carrying around, I'll just give you one example, obesity for most of their adult life, who didn't share with me some pretty profound childhood/teenage, adolescent trauma. You know, when I hear the stories, it's just, I mean, what? And then if you look at that website with the CDC and the whole thing with adverse childhood experience, you will see that obesity is absolutely prevalent. It's right there. And also our eating disorders, suicidality, addiction, lack of productivity, absenteeism. I could go on. You get the point. The bottom line is it's like gross self-destruction. And if that's really your story, read the book. It's not you. It's what happened to you. And then start on a pathway to healing and get the appropriate help. And this is why I had my wonderful friend and colleague, Dr. Christine Courtois, come in and once again do sort of part two of our two episodes, first describing what complex trauma was and really getting into it, and this time actually addressing some of the solutions. And also part of the solution is getting our providers more knowledgeable about this so that they're asking the right questions. Asking the right questions, certainly when you're straight up. Christine, I can't thank you enough for being on the Herb Podcast. Everyone out there, run on over to Dr. Chris Courtois. That's C-H-R-I-S, her last name, C-O-U-R-T-O-I-S.com to learn more about her work. And don't forget the book, It's Not You, It's What Happened to You. And if you're a provider or a professional who wants to learn more, read that text. And that's Treating Complex Traumatic Stress Disorders in Adults. Chris, thank you so much for being on the Herb Podcast.
Thank you for having me. I've really appreciated it. And I hope it helps folks. Thank you.
I mean, I know for a natural fact it did, because this is such important information. All right, everyone out there, this was an important episode. Hit iTunes, rate and review the show, because I want to hear what you have to say about it. Why? Well, obviously, because I'm Dr. Pam Peek, host of the Herb Podcast. Follow me on Facebook at Dr. Pam Peek, or Twitter at Pam Peek MD, or Instagram at Pam Peek MD. And remember to catch every episode of the Her Podcast on iTunes or Radio MD. Thanks for listening today. Now listen, stay safe, and stay well.